Scripture reading this morning comes from 1 Kings 19 and from Matthew 11. The angel of the Lord came back a second time and touched him and said, "Get up and eat, for the journey is too much for you." So he got up and ate and drank. Strengthened by that food, he traveled 40 days and 40 nights until he reached Horeb, the mountain of God. There he went into a cave and spent the night. And the word of the Lord came to him, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" He replied, "I have been very zealous for the Lord God Almighty. The Israelites have rejected your covenant, torn down your altars, and put your prophets to death with the sword. I am the only one left, and now they're trying to kill me too." The Lord said, "Go out and stand on the mountain in the presence of the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by." Then a great and powerful wind tore the mountains apart and shattered the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. After the wind, there was an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. I believe you switched too soon. After the earthquake came a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire came a gentle whisper. When Elijah heard it, he pulled his cloak over his face and went out and stood at the mouth of the cave. Then a voice said to him, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" He replied, "I have been very zealous for the Lord God Almighty. The Israelites have rejected your covenant, torn down your altars, and put your prophets to death with the sword. I am the only one left, and now they are trying to kill me too." The Lord said to him, "Go back the way you came and go to the desert of Damascus. When you get there, anoint Hazael king over Aram. Also anoint Jehu, son of Nimshi, king of Israel, and anoint Elisha, son of Shaphat, from Abel-Meholah to succeed you as prophet. Jehu will put to death any who escape the sword of Hazael, and Elisha, will put to death any who escape the sword of Jehu. Yet I reserve 7,000 in Israel, all whose knees have not bowed down to Baal and whose mouths have not kissed him." Now Matthew 11. "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Lord bless you, Steve.
This morning we're talking about bearing burdens. And I want you to think, before I start, about a burden that you might be carrying. It might be one that you just feel like you can't even, it's overwhelming. You can't begin to lift it or overcome it. For some, it might be a burden that you've just been carrying for a long time. Maybe it's even under the surface. You know it's there. You know it's affecting life, but don't pay it much attention. But just think about that. What's a burden that maybe you'd like to offer up to Jesus, the one who bears our burdens? So think about that. I'm going to share about some people in the Bible who were bearing burdens and just have us think about our own burdens that we're bearing. And then I'm going to ask us to apply that Matthew 11 passage. Come to me, you who are weary and heavy laden, I'll give you rest. I'll help bear that burden with you. And I'm going to give a little testimonial of how I've tried to apply that scripture to a burden. At the end, if anybody feels led to give their own thoughts about how that scripture might speak to your own burden, we'll just give a little time if anybody'd like to share that at the end, if you feel called to do that. But a couple of people from scripture who were bearing a burden. I want to start with Jonah. You know the story of Jonah. He was called to go to Nineveh, preached repentance to them, but instead he went the other way. To Joppa, got on the boat. The storm arose. They realized Jonah's the cause of this. They throw him overboard. He's swallowed by the whale, recommits, dedicates his life to the Lord again, is spit out, goes to Nineveh, preaches, and lo and behold, they actually repent. So Jonah's up on the hill overlooking Nineveh, and he's bearing a burden. He's angry because of what happened to his enemies down there. They actually repented, and the Lord relented from judging them. He said, I knew this would happen. The Lord's gracious and compassionate, slow to anger, abounding in love, and look what's happened. And the voice of the Lord comes to Jonah and says, Jonah, why are you so angry? And then this plant grows, covers him up, gives him shade. But not too long after that, the scorching heat and wind kills it. It wilts. And again, Jonah's angry because the shade has wilted away. And again, the voice of the Lord comes to him, Jonah, why are you so angry? And he said, you really seem concerned about that plant, which just grew up one day and wilted the next. Shouldn't we be concerned about these 120,000 people in Nineveh who didn't know their right hand from their left? So the story ends there. We don't know if that burden of anger, of wanting the worst for his enemies, if that burden ever lifted, if those nudging questions of the Lord started to make him see things differently. But that was a burden that he was bearing. Elijah's another one. We just heard his story. Great victory over the prophets of Baal up on the mountain. But Jezebel, the queen, the Phoenician queen, who is all about the worshiping of these Baals, wants to kill Elijah. He escapes from the northern kingdom, escapes south, is it to Beersheba, but goes off into the wilderness and just wants to die there, and under a broom tree, right? And this angel of the Lord comes, ministers to him, strengthens him, and for 40 days and nights he travels to Mount Horeb, and there on the mountain, he meets God, who again asks a question. What are you doing here, Elijah? And Elijah in the cave, then the Lord appears at this mouth of the cave, right, in a wind and an earthquake and a fire, these powerful demonstrations of God's presence. And God wasn't in any of them, but God was in this still small voice or this gentle whisper. Not sure exactly what was spoken or what was received by Elijah. But again, at the mouth of the cave, this question comes to Elijah, what are you doing here? And then the Lord gives him a commission. Go back and anoint and appoint these various kings or prophets. And by the way, you're not the only one. There's 7,000 others who haven't knelt their knee to Baal. So again, these questions that help to maybe help Elijah to see things in a new way, to encourage him that, in fact, you're not the only one left. You're not a failure. I continue to have work for you to do. The third person I want to mention is Jesus in the garden. The first two, Jonah, Elijah, they ran away from their burdens, right? Towards Joppa, Elijah goes to Beersheba, and then even farther to Mount Moriah. If you look on a map, that's a pretty far distance from the top to the bottom of the kingdom. So God says, go back up to where I have ministry for you. Jesus didn't run from his burdens. In fact, it says he set his face like flint, to go to Jerusalem, to go to the place of his eventual suffering and death, his crucifixion. But still, in that garden, he was feeling the burden of what was about to happen, right? He says, Father, you know, if this cup could pass from me, please, but may your will be done. He tells the disciples, the flesh is willing, but the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. And this week is a real discovery for me. I always just really attributed that phrase, especially to the disciples. You're sleepy, you're falling asleep, you're not praying, your spirit might be willing, but your flesh is weak. And I was reminded again that Jesus was speaking of himself as well. Just in that moment of weakness, he needed prayer as he faced this really difficult trial the next day. So in all of these cases, these individuals found themselves alone, bearing these burdens, and somehow either praying or speaking their complaint, but just really feeling the weight of that burden. Jonah, again, upset that God is so gracious to his enemies. Elijah, my work seems to have gone for naught, and it seems like I'm the only one left who has remained faithful. What a burden. Jesus, just that burden of the upcoming trial and suffering and crucifixion, bearing the weight and the sins of the world upon himself. So just want to return to that question again for you and for all of us. What is a burden that we're carrying? Maybe it doesn't have to be as dramatic as some of these stories, especially Jesus bearing the sins of the world. But some things that it could possibly be. There's all kinds of ways we could describe burdens. But expectations, just the burden of meeting expectations. Either you're putting on yourself or others seem to be putting on you. And that just is a heavy weight to try to live up to. A trial or a crisis in life. Health issues, family crisis, struggles at work, just something that's really weighing heavy on you. The uncertainty of what the future holds up ahead. The burden you feel might be someone else's pain. Someone in your family struggling, looking at people who are persecuted for their faith around the world, people experiencing injustice. We feel their pain and we're burdened with that. Just this sense coming over us of depression or stagnation or fear that immobilizes us feels like a burden. A sin, a moral failing that's just weighing heavy upon us. So again, you might find yourself at times alone and just feeling the weight of that. Maybe complaining, maybe crying out, maybe bringing it in prayer. But somehow that weight is there. And so this Matthew 11 passage really gives us this invitation to face that burden, acknowledge that burden, and take that burden to Jesus. Come to me. This is from the Amplified Bible. Come to me, all of you who are weary and heavy burdened, in parentheses, by religious rituals that provide no peace, for example, and I will give you rest. Again, in parentheses, refreshment for your soul unto salvation. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, following me as a disciple. For I'm gentle and humble in heart. You will find rest. You'll find renewal, blessing for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. But this morning, I'd especially like to ponder that in the words of Eugene Peterson from The Message, which is on the paper that I gave you. Nathan didn't get one of them. But I'd like these words of Jesus to be spoken into our own burdens today and see how they might speak to us. So I'll read that again. Are you tired, worn out, And again, Eugene Peterson in the Message, it's not a literal translation. It's almost like he's an interpretation that he speaks into it to kind of give it life or expand it. Come to me. I'm sorry. Are you tired? Are you worn out? Are you burned out on religion? Come to me. Get away with me and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me and you'll learn to live freely and lightly. So I just want to point out three things here that this speaks to us. One is just this promise in the beginning of rest or renewal. Like the Amplified Bible said, you'll to find refreshment for your soul in the midst of this burden, that the refreshing, renewing strength of God can be in the midst of that for us, that sustaining strength, or to continue to give us a hope even as we work through that burden. If any of you are readers of J.R.R. Tolkien, The Lord of the Rings, the elves had this food. It was called lembas. And just a little bit of it would really give renewing strength. It was a wonderful food to have on a journey, a long journey, to keep you strong along the way. And so Frodo and Sam, who were on this arduous, dangerous journey to the heart of the enemy, they were gifted this food by the elves to give them strength along the way. Just a good illustration for me of just even in the midst of our burdens and our arduous journeys in life, that there's this sustaining strength that is promised to us. And I highlighted a couple things. The two things highlighted are the things that I found most powerful as far as statements in this translation. Walk with me and work with me. See how I do it. Just gives me this image or this reminder that Jesus is my companion and my mentor as I'm walking always through life, but including these times when I'm feeling burdened. The presence of Jesus with us and his guiding hand and strength to navigate things along the way. Not just to survive, but even to bring good, to bring forth the goodness of God in the midst of our trials. Yesterday I had a patient that I was going to see, and I anticipated it was going to be a difficult visit. And I just remember, with this in mind, I remember praying, Jesus, would you walk with me and work with me through this visit? Again, it should always be our prayer, but we especially might think of that in the times of difficulty. Another thing that Jesus, as this companion and mentor, can give us, we could hear him also saying, I'm going to give you a new perspective in the midst of this. That's part of how I will be your companion and your mentor. Both Jonah and Elijah, we could say, were disillusioned. I think that's a good word to describe. To be disillusioned means what you thought, your illusion, your vision of what is true is broken. You know, for Jonah, I thought God was a God who would show justice and vengeance on our enemies. And that just idea was blown apart, seeing how God was so merciful to these people down there in the valley. For Elijah, I thought things were really making a turn for the good as I defeated the prophets of Baal. That doesn't seem to be the case. And now here I am, seems like the last standing faithful person. But in the midst of that, God could speak and I think there's questions again were nudges to say, why don't you look at this differently? Walk with me, and I'll show you a different way. I'm not one to bring vengeance on enemies. That goodness and mercy, slowness to anger, that even applies to the enemies. Maybe you can see that in this whole thing. For Elijah, you're not the only one. There's many, there's thousands others who are faithful. Don't ever think that my purposes, my kingdom will ever be thwarted in such a way. For Jesus, he didn't need in the garden a new perspective. You know, it's very clear on what lay ahead. But I think the Father's voice could have been powerful. We don't know how the Father spoke to the Son, but I'm sure there was Jesus could hear in the garden in that prayer time that reminder, you are my beloved. I'm well pleased with you. A reminder of what lay beyond the cross, you know, for the joy set before him, you know, the joy set beyond, Jesus endured the cross, as Scripture says. So Jesus, as our companion and our mentor, is also there to give us new perspectives in the midst of these burdens. And then the third thing I notice here, and again, another thing that I put in bold on the papers there, I think, learn the unforced rhythms of grace. And that's a phrase I think we could just sit down with under a tree or in a hammock or on your deck and just like ponder what that's just such a powerful phrase that but I hear in that just a step by step grace along the way as we're bearing these burdens, as we're in the midst of this situation, that this promise, I'm gentle and I will carry these burdens with you. My grace will be sufficient. You'll see it unfold step by step as you walk through this with me. As you align your life, and as you cooperate with me, you'll find that my grace and mercy and strength is more than adequate for you. One person said it's an invitation to receive God's grace, not to punish ourselves in our failures or force our own dreams upon our life. You know, this unforced rhythm of grace. Just cooperate and open yourself and see how Jesus will prove to be faithful and guide you through these circumstances. So just one way that I've applied this in my own life, and part of this came out of a conversation I had. Every 4 to 6 weeks, I have a conversation with a spiritual director where he and I just kind of talk about my spiritual life, and he's not there to tell me what to do, but to listen and share wisdom. And the one thing we talked about is just like any pastor would know, just the expectations of what a pastor should accomplish can feel like a burden. Either what I might tell myself I should be accomplishing, or just the expectations of what a pastor should do or be. And he said, instead of that forced way of this is what you should be doing, this is what you should be achieving, how about this? Ask God, or look for, what are the authentic invitations God's offering you to ways in which to serve him? Instead of feeling the pressure of all these expectations, just listen for what God's saying. What are the authentic ways he's calling you to serve? He does want you to bear fruit, but what are the ways that he's speaking to you and showing you the way to be a companion and a partner with Jesus? So I don't know if you can hear the difference in that, but that's a huge difference of the way to think about what the ministry role is all about. And that would apply to any of us with expectations that we might feel. Just that that way of unweighting that burden, giving it to Jesus, letting him carry it with me, and that he's walking and working with me day by day as my companion and mentor. And just relying every day on the unforced rhythms of grace. Again, my partner in this conversation said, think about where the scriptures say, God, your word is a light to my path, a lamp. I have to sing the song that Amy Grant is on. Thy word is a light unto my path, a lamp unto my feet and light unto my path. Okay. So anyway, and he said, just, you know, when you have a lamp or a flashlight, that only shines 5 feet or whatever, you know. The Lord will be gracious and show you the way this far, and then that far, and that far, you know. So just this whole idea of Jesus as our burden bearer, Jesus as our companion. Not that our burdens are gone. I know Jesus now. I have no burdens. But that he's carrying those burdens with us. He's gracious along the way. He's our companion and our mentor. So that's a way that I've experienced that. If anybody feels compelled to share something that this scripture really applies to something you're dealing with and you want to give testimony, I just thought I'd give a moment if anybody wants to share anything, if this sparks anything for you. No problem if it doesn't. Again, I gave that paper out, and I gave some prompts for how you might think through that in a more thorough way than just right now, or to have that conversation with somebody else, maybe this afternoon, someone in the family, or getting together with someone at church to talk through these things. Like I said last week, I want to try week by week to offer ways that we can process and discuss these things and not just drop it at 11:45. So, okay. Rance, okay.
Just thinking that this fellowship that we have here, as we walk and talk with each other
week by week, mm-hmm. and hear about each other's burdens and watch people lose loved ones and so forth, that spiritually we're holding each other's hand, mm-hmm. I think. And I'm sorry I missed your sister's funeral yesterday. I don't know where I was. But anyway, we're holding each other's hands. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and, you know, I spoke about this in terms of Jesus as our burden bearers. His church becomes the hands and feet of Jesus to bear each other's burdens. Yeah.
One of the burdens that I bear is just the wish for my family to all know Jesus. Yeah. And I was challenged, really challenged recently, to not limit how God goes about doing that. One person in my family is a huge fan of rock music, and especially of Alice Cooper. I don't know how many of you are aware who he is, and his kind of music and the kind of show he puts on. But he has become a Christian. And this person in my family that is so enjoys his music actually sat and listened to his testimony on the computer and didn't just shut him down.
Yeah.
And so I'm very hopeful mm-hmm. that God can work through that.
Yeah. I was ready in case Graham and Sully were here. I have another weight, and we were going to somehow bear that burden together. It'd be too heavy maybe for any of us, but just an illustration of bearing each other's burdens. Okay. Well, let me close this time with a word of prayer. Lord Jesus, we are so grateful that in the beginning of the service, we declare that you were Lord of Lords, the one who was raised from the dead, you reign forever and ever, and also you come close to us, you hear us, you bear our burdens with us, you walk with us, you give us new perspective, you give us strength for the journey, and you give us your church to share our burdens with. So we're grateful. Give us the willingness, the openness to open ourselves to you in the midst of our struggles, to cooperate with your good purposes, which will help ease the burdens of this life. So, Lord, as we continue to process this for our own lives, may you just speak to us through this scripture. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.